Today, we're going to go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. We're going to look at Jesus, the spiritual light of the world. But also, we're going to look at the I Am statements in there, too. As you know, when Jesus Christ said, I Am, a lot of controversy came His way, as we're going to see in this text. But I want to look at the spiritual light of the world. John chapter 8, we're going to read verses 12 through 59, but let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank You for this opportunity to go back into Your Word. Lord, bring us into the truth of Your Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Open up the ears of the hearers that's going to be listening to this. And Lord, once again, empower me by Your Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God for Your glory, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus, the spiritual light of the world. As we watched last night, in the beginning of a race, a NASCAR race, which we don't watch, but we just happened to turn it on. That chaplain, I was very proud of him. Because he began the prayer. And as he went on in the prayer, he prayed for a lot of people, and he says, Father, I want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Because without Him, this prayer would be nothing. What a very bold statement that man made on national TV. So I thank the good Lord for him. Because Jesus is the spiritual light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. I will read the 12 through 59. Then I want to come back. We're going to look at the proclamation and the objection of Jesus, the spiritual light of the world. We're going to look into J. Vernon McGee's insights of through the Bible. And once again, some insights from Pastor John MacArthur. I'll be preaching from the New King James Version Study Bible. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will He kill Himself because He says, Where I go, you cannot come? And He said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those sayings which I heard from Him. They did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He said, And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, many believed in Him. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, If you abide in my word, You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you see, what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come myself of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took stones up to throw it at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, I want to take you back and look at John 8, verse 12 of this text. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As the sun is the physical light of the world, says here in the study Bible, so Jesus is the spiritual light of the world. As the light of the world, Jesus exposes sin and gives sight to the blind. You see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus' I am statements, here in the study Bible chart, would have particular significance for the first century Jewish listener. God had revealed himself to Moses with the resounding I am in Exodus chapter 3. Now Jesus was using the same words to describe himself. Jesus said, seven I ams here I want to go through. says, I am the bread of life. As bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. The nourishment and satisfaction He offers are permanent. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We just read in John 8:12. To a world stumbling about in darkness of sin, Christ offers Himself as a constant guide. Light also is symbolic of holiness. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. You see, shepherds guide their flocks into stone closures each night to protect them back then. These structures had no doors, so the shepherd would put them in and would set or lie in the opening to prevent predators from attacking the sheep. Thus, Jesus was caring or describing His care in constant devotion to those who are His sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. Unlike hirelings who run away and leave the flock unattended, Jesus Christ is committed for caring and keeping watch over every one of His people, His sheep. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the Lord of all life and possesses the power to raise the dead. Death is not the final word for those who are in Christ because we will live forever. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the one and only way to the Father. He is the source of all truth and the source of all knowledge about God. He offers to spiritually dead people the very life of God. He said, I am the true vine in John 15. You see, the Old Testament contains many references to Israel as God's vine. But because of the nation's unfruitfulness, Jesus came to fulfill God's plan. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable His life to flow in and through us. Then we cannot help to bear fruit that will honor the Father. You see, the I Am statements are very important because as He comes and He says to them in John 8, He had a proclamation. And I'm going to read that to you again. So number one in your bulletin is Jesus the spiritual light of the world, and this is the proclamation He made to them. John 8, once again, verses 12 through 32. Let me read them to you. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not yet come. Verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will He kill Himself because He says, Where I go, you cannot come? And He said to them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Then they said to Him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But He who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those sayings which I heard from Him. They did not understand He spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these sayings. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. As He spoke these words, notice it says, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, as Jesus said, the I am, this expression denotes self-identity, self-sufficiency. In one breath, Jesus asserted His eternal pre-existence and His absolute deity. Abraham, though, like all mortals, came into existence at one point in time. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, unlike all mortals, never has a beginning. He is eternal, and He is God. This is evident in Jesus' use of the words, I am, for Himself. This statement recalls the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament translation of Exodus 3, in which God unveiled His identity as I am who I am. Thus, Jesus was claiming to be the ever-existing, self-existent Almighty God. I am was God's designation of Himself. Jesus Himself was claiming to be God. This assertion was not understood by the religious leaders in 8:24, but later on, in verse 58, that claim brought something else. Let me read it to you. Because Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then in verse 59, they took up stones to throw at Him, because that Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple. You see, this time the Jewish leaders understood that Jesus was claiming to be Almighty God. So they took up stones to stone Him for blasphemy. But in John 1, verses 1 through 5, the text says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, as the light, Jesus Christ reveals both sin and God to human beings. You see, Jesus Christ declares Himself to be both the life and the light. Death and darkness flee when the life and light enter. The dead are raised and the blind receive their sight, both physically and spiritually. I like, though, in his commentary of James Vernon McGee, he puts it down this, Jesus is the light of the world. Because he says in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Notice he says, I am. This I am occurs again and again. In the Old Testament, Jehovah is the I am that I am in Exodus 3. Very frankly, he says, we are told very little about God. We know He is a self-existent one, that He has all wisdom and all power. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth not only to redeem man, but also to reveal God to man. Jesus greatly expands our understanding by using the commonplace things like bread, light, and water to symbolize Himself. He uses the ordinary to speak of the extraordinary, the physical to speak of the spiritual, the temporal to speak of the eternal, the here and now to speak of the hereafter, the earthly to speak of the heavenly, the limited to speak of the unlimited, and the finite to speak of the infinite. You see, Jesus gives us a revelation of God when He tells us that He is bread, He is water, He is life. Then we understand that not only is God self-existing, but that He also meets every need. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. He has just exposed in this incident the sin of the scribes and Pharisees who brought the woman guilty of adultery because they were just as guilty as she. They had to flee. You see, when one turns on the light, all the rats, the bats, and the bedbugs crawl away. You see, light exposes sin, which is the reason the scribes and the Pharisees had to leave. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, is the highest claim that He made so far in the Gospel of John. One of the definitions of God is that He is light. He is absolute in His holiness and His justice. His physical light is one of the most complicated things as well as the most essential things for us. Who really knows what it is? In some ways, it acts like waves, and in some ways, it acts like particles of matter. The startling thing is that men, acting on both of these definitions or principles, have been able to make remarkable inventions and discoveries of it. Some say that both are true, and yet others say both can't be true. Is light, the question here, is light the absence of darkness? Or is darkness the absence of light? We say a room is filled with light. What do we mean? Does it weigh any more when it's filled with light? There could be no such thing as color without light. You see, the red rose is red because it has absorbed every other part of light except red. That is the reason we see red in the red rose. We don't understand light, and certainly a child doesn't understand light. But he does know enough about it to turn on the light switch when he enters a dark room. You see, Jesus Christ, He said, is the light of the world Himself. Just as the sun is the physical light of the world, Jesus Christ is the spiritual light of the world. Just as a little child can have enough sense to come into the presence of the light, so any sinner today, though he be a fool and a wayfaring man, can come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are those who deny that Christ is the light of the world. They are walking in a lesser light. As a moon has no light of itself, but reflects the light of the sun, so this civilization that we live in today. You see, we owe everything to Jesus Christ, He says here. We have hospitals, charities, orphans' homes, considerations for the poor, rights of labor, because Jesus Christ came to this earth, because He was the light of the world. The reason we have problems in these areas today is that we have wandered too far from the light. The world is just walking in moonlight, as it were. How this poor old world needs to get back to the light which is in Christ. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, there are those who have attempted to liken Jesus to the light of headlights of a car. He says, friend, the headlights of a car do not lead anywhere. Who does the leading? The fellow at the steering wheel. Unfortunately, this is the way many Christians try to live their lives today. You see, during this feast, that when Jesus spoke this, the Feast of Tabernacles, Israel was remembering the deliverance when the pillar of fire led the children of Israel through the wilderness. They were celebrating this with a torch parade. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, this is what He was referring to. Wherever, or whenever and wherever the pillar of fire led the children of Israel, they followed. You see, we need to do that too. We are to follow Jesus Christ in like manner, looking to Him as the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the text says, This is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So you see, in John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That was a proclamation. But with that comes the number two objection. Go back to the opening text, John chapter 8, verse 33 now. Verse 33. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 37. Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is the liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Verse 48. Once again, this is the objection that I am, that He is the spiritual light of the world. Then the Jews answered and said to Him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Verse 49. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Very interesting. Let's stop right there. Because they came at Jesus. He says, do we not rightly say you are a Samaritan and have a demon? You know what the Samaritans were? When they got scattered, they intermarried with the Gentiles, and the Jews hated them. So right there they made judgment on Jesus. And said, you're a Samaritan and have a demon. You see what Jesus said though? He said, I do not have a demon. He didn't even put the word Samaritan in there, did he? He cut him short right there with her hypocrisy, this discrimination towards the Samaritans. Because he came to seek and save those lost, right? Salvation was for all the world. But that's interesting. Verse 50. And I do not seek my own glory, but there is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, Abraham's descendants may have been the physical heirs of Abraham, but they were not his spiritual descendants unless they had faith. And their faith had to be in Christ. But instead of trusting Christ to forgive their sins, the religious leaders wanted to kill him. They heard the word, but they did not believe it. You see, the Pharisees believed that being the descendant of Abraham guaranteed them a place in heaven. And he even came at them and says, we are not born of fornication. From ancient times, this has been interpreted as a sneer, as if to say, we are not illegitimate children, but you are. Apparently, gossip had followed Jesus for many years, alleging that he had been conceived out of wedlock, because he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said to them, Jesus knew their thoughts, he knew their hearts. He said, you are of your father the devil. He could trace their actions back to the source, to the root of the problem. The devil was their father, and he did the works of their father. The devil is a murderer, and his agents wanted to kill Christ. You see, isn't it amazing? It amazes me that when people reject Jesus Christ and his claims, his word, they always deny being ruled by anyone or anything. They said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. But they have been. The Pharisees' objection is startling, because in the past, the Israelites have been in bondage to the Egyptians, to the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and even as they spoke, they were under the heavy rule of Rome. But they've never been in bondage to anyone. Same thing with people who deny his claims today. Do you see, they swallow the lie from the enemy. The enemy of their souls, who started out and said what? When you can go against God's word and question God and do what you want to do, he says, you surely won't die, right? That's what he said. They all question God's word and his authority over everything. You see, that's why it says in John 3, verse 18 through 20. John 3, verse 18 through 20. He who believes in me is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So we're seeing the proclamation of Christ when he says, I am the spiritual light of the world. We've seen the proclamation, but we've seen the objection, and you will see it today. As we conclude this morning, you see, just as the religious people of Jesus' day refused the light and chose the darkness because they loved their sin, so do people today. They say they do not need a Savior because they have a system. Wrong answer. You see, if a person dies without accepting the true spiritual light, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. They will spend eternity in punishment and will have no one to blame but themselves. The first step to dying in your sin is to be totally content with the condition you are in, not accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, you might even think, you're better than the average person. You haven't done all those things and sins the other people do. Basically, you're a good person. You follow a religious system. You think you'll be okay in judgment. You believe that when God judges you, that your good will outweigh your bad. Once again, Wrong answer. Because over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, let me read that to you, verses 10 through 20. Romans 3, verse 10 through 20. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and in all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans 3:23, we all know it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, Jesus Christ Himself, in His words, may have been rejected by many. To be good cheer. We're going to see in a moment that Scripture testifies many believed. Because we live in a dark world. As a commentary, John MacArthur's commentary says, the world, eclipsed by the long shadow of sin. In desperation, lost people around us search frantically for the truth without the facility to find it. Because of their spiritual blindness, they only stumble deeper into sin's hopeless gloom, finding themselves utterly trapped in the snares of immorality, idolatry, and all the unfruitful deeds of darkness. You see, though the Bible declares sinners as those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Consequently, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Yet those who foolishly substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from a life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. Into this sin-darkened world came Jesus Christ, the light of the world that shines in the darkness. The true light, which comes into the world, enlightens every man. When he was an infant, Simeon called him a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. While Matthew records that his ministry in Galilee was to fulfill what was spoken through the Isaiah prophet, which says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee and the Gentiles, the people were sitting in darkness and saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. You see, Jesus Christ is, as He declared, the spiritual light of the world. One would think that sinners, hopelessly lost in darkness, would flock to the light. Yet, in a strange paradox, people love the very darkness that ensnares them. Like a dying man who cherishes his deadly disease, they cherish the sin that produces spiritual and eternal death. You see, Jesus said, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. But those who through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, they receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith, which is in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. They are rescued from a domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son becoming sons of light and sons of day, no longer of the night nor of darkness. Because God has called them out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Those who were formerly darkness now are light in the Lord. You see, in chapter 7 of John, verse 37 and 38, Jesus presented Himself as a source of the living water. Here, Jesus made another astounding claim about Himself, that He is the light of the world. As before, though, His words generated severe opposition. Unfortunately, especially as it is today, from the religious people of that day. But, as He says in John 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's good news. That's good news for everyone listening. That you can become a child of God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You can come from darkness to light. You see, to receive means to receive a favor and implies welcome. Instead of a walking mat, Jesus, unfortunately, had the door slammed in His face by people back then and people today. You see, to them He gave the rights when they accepted Him to become children of God. Undeserving sinners can become members of the household of God. You see, this spiritual birth is not by blood, as the text says, which is a physical generation, or by parents. It is not of the will of flesh. Any personal effort will not do it. No system will do it. It's not by the will of man. It's not by any other individual. It is a gift. It is a gift from God. Not a reward achieved by any human effort. It's a free gift. That's good news. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. For those who are listening that have never accepted that, I pray they will. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning, once again, we do want to thank You for Your Word. And we do ask that You will open up the eyes of those who are listening. We thank You for those that You have granted salvation. That is good news. We can be of cheer. Because we have received Jesus Christ of our Savior. We know and believe that He died on that cross. And He was raised from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. We confess that. We believe that in our heart and confess it with our mouth. It's what Your Word says. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected, that you will be saved. We thank You for that. Thank You for sending Your only begotten Son. But Father, for those that never have done this, for those that's religious, that believes in a system and not a Savior, I pray that You will open our eyes to that. I pray for the Jewish people, Lord, that are caught up in the system of Judaism. As the religious leaders did back then, when You said, I am, they took up stones to throw at You, Christ. I pray that You open up their eyes to the falseness of the religion. That You were the true Messiah. That You have granted salvation to the Gentiles. To provoke them to jealousy. Because we have a Savior, not a system. I pray if there's anyone listening that is caught up in Judaism, that you will grant him salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Father, I also pray and thank you for a church that preaches the truth. Be with those that are doing that. Keep them empowered by your Holy Spirit to not to compromise your word. Give them that joy unspeakable and full of glory that only you can give by abiding in Christ, abiding in your word, and not compromising for any man or tradition. Help us, empower us by your Holy Spirit to go out and share the hope that's within us. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen.